Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to America's Heroes Group, roundtable with partner VHPI, Veteran Healthcare Policy Institute. America's Heroes Group, roundtable radio, print, digital media has transcended race, creed, and color via disseminating information, resources, and referrals intentionally to empower our military population. Today is Saturday, November 21st, 2020. November is National Veterans Military Families Appreciation and Caregiver Month. Our host is Cliff Kelly. I am the co-host, Colonel Damon Arnold, and our executive producer is Glenda Smith, digital media producer Manny Carazzari, assistant digital media producer Al Greer. Today we have two esteemed panelists, and that is Suzanne Gordon, and we have Jasper Crave. Our discussion today is going to be about veterans policy making over the next 4 years under a Biden administration. Suzanne Gordon is VHPI, which is the Veterans Healthcare Policy Institute, senior policy analyst, and her work expands over three decades, reporting on healthcare programs, workers, policy, and has authored or edited 21 books. Suzanne has written two books, The Battle for Veterans Healthcare and Wounds of War. And we also have Jasper Crave, the interim executive director for VHPI. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. And give us a little bit more, Suzanne, about what is going on about the Biden administration. What are we looking forward to?
It's great to be on. You know, we have an unprecedented opportunity in a new administration to do, I think, two things, or actually three with the Veterans Administration. One is reverse the damage that Trump has done to the Veterans Health Administration and Veterans Benefit Administration by failing to fill its positions, failing to adequately fund it, and pushing privatization or the outsourcing of veterans' care and compensation pen exams, which I think Jasper will talk about, into the private sector. So that needs to be reversed. The second thing that needs to be done is the VA needs to be expanded. It certainly needs to be expanded to accommodate the needs of the many veterans who have lost their health insurance and jobs and will need help from the VA and health care from the VA, and more claims will be filed to the VA. And the fourth thing is to address longstanding problems. The third thing is addressing longstanding problems in the VA, like there's a fair amount of toxic management that's been encouraged. The VA in Memphis is one example of this, where they've lost tons of people in their mental health department. And, you know, the Biden transition team on the VA, and the other issue, sorry, is to reverse the tremendous attacks on VA workers and their unions under Trump. And the Biden administration, you know, has a huge opportunity, but the Biden transition team that they've appointed is really worrisome. There's some very good people on it. Kayla Williams, who was the director of the Center for Women Veterans in the VA and was pushed out under Trump. Meg Cabot, Phil Carter. But there's some other people on the team that are really worrisome. Bali Yahia and another woman who represents Ascension Health, that really have a huge stake in VA privatization. And what's really stunning is there are no representatives of any VSO, Veteran Service Organization, on the transition team, if you contrast this with the transition team for the Department of Labor. I think it's something like, 9 out of 23 members are from unions. So this is not a good sign for a new beginning with Biden, and I think hopefully this is going to need to change. There's also no members of veterans unions like the National Nurses Union or AFGE on the transition team.
Oh, boy. That's kind of a rude awakening, I guess. wasn't aware that that was all that was.
Yeah, well, veterans better wake up because they need to really be calling Congress, and actually you can actually register concerns at the transition team. I think it's I'm not quite sure how you do that, but it is worrisome, and I know Jasper has a lot to say about the outsourcing of compensation and pen exams that Trump has ordered, which is something.
Yeah, because I guess that even at a minimum, right, Suzanne, we could be at least looking at our congressional members and the people we put into elected positions to talk about that and, to start bringing that issue up. That is very, very worrisome, that we don't have that VSO, representation and all the other myriad things you were mentioning. That's something we really better pay attention to. Yeah. But Jasper, tell me a little bit more about the vision about the policymaking. What do you think needs to be happening within the next 4 years? And Suzanne has really given us a great, sort of landscape about what it looks like going into this thing.
Yeah, great question. Great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Oh, sure.
Well, if folks are looking to get a comprehensive analysis of what needs to be done over the next 4 years, they can visit veteranspolicy.org. And they'll find there that we have laid out a pretty broad and sweeping vision to both undo a lot of the damage that has happened over the last 4 years, but also really improve the Department of Veterans Affairs and enrich it for the future, for future veterans, and as well as for those who are receiving services today. The short story here is that the Trump administration has ruthlessly privatized key veteran services over the last 4 years. This has been most evident in the VA Mission Act, which was passed with bipartisan support a couple years ago. And that basically funnels billions of dollars, thousands of veterans into the private sector, which, as has been made clear in innumerable research analyses, is not prepared to handle the unique wounds of war that those who've served often face. Now, the most recent development here is the complete privatization of compensation and pension exams. This is a bit of a wonky issue, but as any of your veteran listeners will know who use the VA, these exams are critical in order to secure care and benefits. Before anyone can get let into the VA, unless they meet certain qualifications, they need to basically be evaluated, and a clinical professional needs to make the declaration that their various ailments, whether physical or mental, are connected to military service. So these are very critical exams, that they really influence the future of a veteran's life and their family. For a long time, this work was completed almost entirely by staff within the VA who know about PTSD, who know about military sexual assault, who know about traumatic brain injuries. But because the VA has been underfunded for so long, there came a point under the Obama administration where there was a real sort of crisis, and vets weren't getting these exams in a timely fashion. Rather than support the VA to ensure that that could happen, a number of exams were privatized, and a sort of crew of private companies stepped into the void. The number of private exams has been increasing in recent years, and under Trump, it's set to really overtake the entire retention and compensation process. Now, there is ample evidence not only that the companies providing these exams are not aware of the unique wounds of war, are often not competent in ensuring that veterans get a fair disability rating, but also that these exams are costing far too much money. The VA to this day does not have the systems in place to ensure that they're being billed correctly. So, you know, taxpayer dollars are just moving out the door in a way that are very difficult to track. And there have been a lot of lobbyists really pushing this decision, and it has now been decided. So we're hoping that it can be reversed, that some of the VSOs and some lawmakers can really push back and ensure that the veteran comes first here. But it's a troubling development.
And I think that what is even more troubling is that, you know, all these legislators in Washington who say they're against privatization and VSOs who say they're against privatization have said nothing about this. And this is total privatization. Biden has said that he's against total privatization. Well, this is total privatization of the Veterans Benefit Administration function. It isn't what we call the salami strategy, where you know, outsource the care of people who have to drive for more than 60 minutes. This is no more comp and pen exams in the VA, and I think it's absolutely staggering that this has gone unmentioned and that nobody is paying attention. I mean, there are some groups like the law firm Bergman and Moore and other groups that are paying attention to this, but you don't hear much about it, and the VSOs in Congress really need to get on the stick about this.
Yeah, you know, I'm a veteran myself, and, you know, I did a couple of tours of combat duty in Iraq, and I, you know, when I go to a private payer, you know, I can see a distinct difference in the way that I'm being approached. Usually they have no clue about why you're there or why you're in front of them. If I would approach them about any kind of veteran-associated issue. But when I went to the VA, I felt like they, you know, many of them have already served themselves. So you do have some VA officials who actually did put the uniform on. And then you have a lot of VA officials who are there for the right reason, because they care about veterans. And I've always felt like it was like a homecoming to me. And to sit in a waiting room with other veterans and to talk to them and feel like you're connected really does a lot for a veteran. But if you go to a private office, you know, they have no idea of what you're there for, what these pieces of paper are, and, you know, who knows what happens to them when they finish. I understand what you're saying about the privatization and the worry and concern about that.
And I think this has to be really at the top of the list for who is chosen as Secretary of the VA.
Yes.
And who is chosen as Undersecretary for Health and Undersecretary for the VBA. And, you know, because it's not just the Secretary, there's all these other positions. And we need people who are committed to reversing the privatization and strengthening the VA. And, you know, this is going to be really important in the coming months over the COVID crisis, because, you know, veteran unemployment has gone from 3% to 12%. That was in the first surge. We don't even know what it's going to be like at the end of all this. So there's going to be more claims. There's going to be more people needing help.
Yes.
And, you know, I think we also need to see a secretary in a Congress, and undersecretaries who are committed to expanding VA coverage to people who have other than honorable discharges, and to really, we believe that all veterans should be covered by the VA. You know, it's crazy now the way Congress defines a veteran. You have to have served for 2 years with active duty, and you have to have a discharge that's other than dishonorable, and there's all kinds of confusion about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think that needs to be reversed as well.
Yes, and, you know, and you have veterans who, you know, I served for 26 years, but I have veterans who, you know, joined and were in there for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, but actually did serve overseas in combat zones as well. And they certainly would seem to be deserving of, you know, coverage under the VA system. I just don't understand that piece of it. And, you know, we actually have to really start talking about, you know, the representation of veterans in Congress as well. We do have, you know, congressional members like Tammy Duckworth who are in there and making sure that veterans participate more fully in that process as well.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. I also think, though, it matters which veteran and what they believe, because there are sadly a lot of veterans and a lot of veteran service organizations who really don't support the inclusion of veterans with other than honorable discharges. You know, they think that, what do you mean, you know, we should cover this guy who got drunk or got into a fight or was in, you know, didn't show up for formation twice. I got out of the service with no problem. And they don't understand and aren't sympathetic to veterans who have PTSD or you know, something like that. And I think that a lot of education needs to be done in the veteran community, because if you have veterans, you know, we're assuming that all the veterans who get elected to Congress share our beliefs, and that's not true.
Yes,
you can't assume that.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know, and it goes back to the care that people are receiving as well, and that kind of thing. But, you know, we're running out of time. Can you give us a little less than a minute closeout? We also want to make sure that we, you know, get the website again. I think that was veteranspolicy.org, you were saying.
Jasper, do you want to do it?
Okay.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, www.veteranspolicy.org. There you will find our vision for the future. You'll also find previous white papers that we've written on a whole host of topics. Suzanne and I are both investigative journalists in our own right, and we have written a number of deep dives into pressing veterans' issues, including the massive vacancy crisis inside the VA, which has been improved upon some during this pandemic, but is still very real.
Yes.
We need to ensure that the government is fully staffing these hospitals so that vets can get in and get care when they need it. So, you know, we're really here. We're fighting
Great.
Day in, day out. Ensure that the VA remains strong into the future, and we hope your listeners can check us out and support us.
Oh, we will, and thank you very much for VHPI. We're going to have you, Jasper, and Suzanne back again and again, because you're doing a wonderful
job.
Thank
you. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, SeidmanLaw.net.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Governor of Talk Radio, your executive producer wants to know, where can I go for delicious shrimp? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. The one and only veteran business owner, Harris Gulf Shrimp, at 7448 Vincennes. I personally eat there. The price and shrimp are nothing other than fantastic.
Thank you, the one and only Governor of Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheThatInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Service Women Who Serve is proud to partner with Cliff Kelly and the American Heroes Group as an influencer of social change through advocacy, activism, and examination of legacy for military and veterans. We stand as paradigm-shifting thought leaders, believing social justice is grounded in hope.
Hi, this is Chris Kennedy. My wife Sheila and I founded Top Box Foods as a community nonprofit to ensure everyone has safe access to healthy, affordable food. We are honored to partner with Vietnam veteran and our friend Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, along with Congressman Danny Davis, to celebrate the holidays by donating boxes of delicious meats and chicken, as well as fresh produce from Top Box Foods for veterans and Chicago communities so families can enjoy healthy meals with their loved ones. Happy holidays from the Kennedy family and from all of us at Top Box Foods.
America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by Attorney Steve Seichman of Seichman Margolis and Fairman LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll free, 888-837-3275. Office number is 312-781-1977. Pearl's Place, Down Home Southern Cooking, 3901 South Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 877-275-5852. Veteran business owner, Hare's Golf Shrimp, 7448 South Vincennes Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60621. Call 773-783-1818. Tabak Law, LLC, 6045 North Green Bay Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 414-375-1735. America's Heroes Groups extends a special thanks to our partners, Chris and Sheila Kennedy, and Congressman Danny Davis, for their generous donations of holiday food box giveaways.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome, welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner NCHV, National Coalition of Homeless Veterans. November is National Veterans Military Families Appreciation and Caregiver Month. Today is Saturday, November 21st, 2020. The host is Cliff Kelly. I am the co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. And we have the executive producer, Glenda Smith, digital media producer, Manny Carazzari, assistant digital media producer, Al Greer. Today we are here with a couple of special panelists. They're going to be talking about the impact of homelessness and on veterans' experiences during the holiday seasons. And I'm going to introduce the first panelist. Catherine Monet is the Chief Executive Officer of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. Ralph Cooper is the Community and Residential Veteran Services Coordinator, Cloudbreak, Houston, LLC, and co-founder of National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm going to start out with Catherine and tell us a little bit about what's going on right now, especially during the holiday seasons. We're facing, you know, Thanksgiving and, you know, other holidays coming up, Christmas, New Year's. What's going on in this COVID situation, and what can you tell us about it?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us. It's always a joy to join you for the monthly show. You know, the holiday season is always a time for reflection, and I think to some degree, one of the contributing factors to someone's homelessness is not necessarily having a close-knit group of people who you can call on for assistance or people you can rely on, whether that's family, friends, what have you. And you know, around the holiday season, especially when everybody is really gathering and enjoying their family, enjoying time with friends, it be really hard, right? Knowing that you're, you know, sort of trying to find your hope, reestablish your life, and, you know, everyone else has something in someone and you're, you know, still in this place of transition. And so it can be really hard. I think this year especially has what will be a challenge just because of some of the, you know, social distancing requirements and some of the things that, you know, these places that are operating shelter or permanent supportive housing need to do to keep people safe. There's not as much opportunity to gather together. There's not as much opportunity to bring in volunteers. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of folks are really grappling with how, you know, you still make these veterans feel celebrated, how you still acknowledge their service and their need for connection, yes, and even how you kind of help them manage their mental health.
Oh, yes. You know, and it's especially important now. You know, we have many veterans who are living in VA facilities as well, and veterans who are living in their regular home environments. But it's especially tough for people who are homeless, right? Because, you know, we talk about, you know, social distancing and all those kinds of things. But sometimes, you know, your very survival depends on your ability to reach out and to touch people. And this makes it, I can imagine, much more difficult for those people who are homeless right now. And Ralph, why don't you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what you're seeing out there and how this is affecting our veterans?
Well, you know, at the facility that we work with in Houston, we have about 500 previously homeless veterans on site. Okay. Even though they're in housing now, a lot of them feel isolated, especially during this COVID situation, where if someone comes up positive, then we have to quarantine them for 14 days. And then they have to, you know, of course, we're constantly testing. And during this, especially Thanksgiving, I think that's one of the times when veterans really, that especially those alienated from their families, really feel that need to be able to connect and contact with someone close to them. And so, you know, you are absolutely correct in your assessment that is a real, real big problem. One of the things that happens when men and women who served our nation, you know, it starts off in the military where you're away from home. And you really look forward to coming back to the world if you've been overseas, or coming home to visit mom and relatives. Mm-hmm. And so this carries on into the veteran status. All of a sudden, you're homeless. You don't have anywhere to stay for whatever the reason is, and you'll have to adapt to that life on the street or underneath the bridge or what have you. And then here we come along and we say, hey, we can provide housing, and the government will pay 3/4 of your rent if you qualify. So we have these situations now where we can't even allow families to come and visit because of this COVID, you know. So, and they can't travel here in Texas. You know, we can't go to a lot of the cities and places, even if you have the funds to travel. So it's really a major problem. And what the National Coalition with Ms. Monet, we try to come up with methods and ways in which we can make some sort of contact possible. So we do a lot of telephoning and make the website available so that people can find a way to connect.
Yes, that's phenomenal. That's some really incredible work you're doing, you know, for our veterans and their families, because they're connected to people too. And even if you're homeless, doesn't mean that you are familyless, you know, that you don't have friends, that you don't have people who care about you, and even the, your co-service members that, you know, you serve with. You know, Catherine, you know, one of the things, as a CEO of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, it occurred to me, you know, we sometimes think of everything being the same no matter where you are, but throughout the country, we have different geographic regions. We have people who are going through forest fires in California, floods in Louisiana, you know, hurricanes in Florida. We have the snow and ice coming into the Midwest. So as a national person, on a national level, you must see such a variety of needs across the country. It's not, you know, just one size fits all, right?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, when it comes to disasters, even when it comes to COVID response, because, you know, it hasn't just been one consistent wave across the country, right? Different communities are peaking at different times, and it's allowed other communities to really learn from, you know, their experience and their expertise and to be better off for it.
Yeah. So how what can veterans do, you know, to assist you, or what can the general population do to assist the homeless veterans? Is there, you know, a website, a phone number? Is there a way that they can actually get involved in making sure that our veterans at least get food and get some support during this time?
Yeah. So I think one of the first things that I'd say is to stop by NCHV's website. It's www.nchv.org. If you're interested in getting involved on a national level, that's where you can really learn more about what NCHV does and figure out how to reach us, or if you are so inclined to push that donate button, you can do that. There's also on our website a listing of organizations across the country that are serving veterans experiencing homelessness. And some of them are providing employment services, some of them are operating shelters, some of them are providing permanent supportive housing like Mr. Cooper's facility. And I think one of the best things to do in your community is to actually reach out to the local facility serving veterans and ask them what they need, because I think that can vary a lot. I mean, I've heard from some of our members who are looking for food donations. Others are looking for, you know, volunteers to do activities via Zoom with their veterans who are cooped up and getting restless. And there's just a wide variety of need. Mm-hmm. And without understanding what's needed in the local area, I think it's probably a little bit harder to help. But you'd be surprised sometimes at how simple the needs actually are in your community and how easy it is to fulfill them yourself.
Yes, you know, and, you know, there was a comment made, you know, on an earlier show about the unemployment rate for veterans right now. And we're seeing veterans, you know, losing jobs, and the percentage is, like, really astounding, you know, how it's increased recently. And that means that it's not just the veteran, but many times they have families, right? They have children, they have a spouse, you know, and, you know, significant other. And that can be just, you know, earth-shattering to people. So right now, what would you say to employers as far as making sure that veterans, you know, receive some benefits, even if they are, you know, in this situation of potentially losing a job? You know, what can be done, or, you know, there's a, you know, Department of Employment Security in many states. But, you know, how can people get restabilized? Because it seems like we're just going off the edge of a cliff sometimes with, you know, the number of people who can end up in this situation.
Well, you know, the real unfortunate reality is, I mean, people watch TV and they see the numbers of people who are in the food line.
Never mind
getting some assistance, getting money. Food to eat has now become almost a luxury as opposed to the commodity and that they should have available to them. So, you know, there's no magic to this. Everybody has to try to do what they can to help out. So we don't have the answer, because if that were the case, we wouldn't be in this situation. With the COVID, with what's going on the national level, with you spoke about unemployment. Come the day after Christmas, it's going to be over for folks who are receiving unemployment benefits that they received from the last stimulus. So, you know, it's really a critical situation. And what Ms. Monet was sharing was, if you're out there and you want to contribute to the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, and you want to get on the website and find organizations within your community that help veterans, that you can participate with or contribute to get the help to them. I know for Thanksgiving we have churches and some institutions that are coming providing food to Cloudbrook Houston.
Yes.
They're donating things coming up for Christmas. They're going to be also contributing. But this is not, you know, this is the most serious thing I've ever seen. And I, you know, and mm-hmm. if God spares me, I'll be 80 in July.
Oh.
And so this is the worst I've ever seen with this pandemic, mm-hmm. with unemployment, with people getting evicted from their home,
yes.
with homeless on the rise again,
right.
with veterans committing suicide. It's just overwhelming.
Yes, and then we're coming up to that time clock, right, where the evictions, I think there's a certain amount of protection in place until the end of December. But people are going to start getting into that line where they have to start paying this, you know, money back, you know, to and, you know, you have people who are renting properties and all that, and they have to, you know, they have their bills coming in and they're getting, you know, pushed aside, but
right.
you know that need for that stimulus. You know, our congressional members need to be acting quickly.
Absolutely correct.
Yes, and
that's what we can ask our listeners to do. Mm-hmm. Get in touch with your congressional folks. Tell them that, you know, let's get this stimulus done on the both on the representative side and on the Senate side.
Right.
You know. This is a no time to dally on and go through. I know we're trying to fix a lot of stuff, but this can happen and can happen quickly.
Yes, yes. So how is it affecting your operations right now? You know, Catherine, you know, what do you see as being your major challenges right now? Is it, you know, the fiscal side? Is it trying to get service workers, because even now we have people who are, you know, for example, you know, in the healthcare system, people are not doing elective procedures like they used to before, and people are not going in for routine screenings, and, you know, and the healthcare force is being shifted into so many different directions, and I'm not sure if that's happening in the same level with the people who normally provide these services, who are your workers who are out there, you know, working with people boots on ground.
Yeah, so I think there are some changes that organizations that serve veterans are seeing. I mean, yeah. we've been lucky in that at least my office and the budget that I have doesn't necessarily cover anyone who is a direct service provider.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of our operations, what we've been seeing a lot more of is calls on our toll-free referral line, 1-800-VET-HELP. And those calls have increased dramatically, and they tend to spike around the end of the month, on Fridays, right before holidays, but now it seems like the spikes are sort of tied to the end of unemployment or, you know, the end of the eviction moratoriums, and so I am bracing myself for what will happen come January 1,
yes.
you know, when unemployment
yes.
ends, when some
yes.
of these eviction moratoriums end, because, you know, we're
yes.
seeing in some places in the news that they're talking about, you know, just tenants in general in this country have amassed something like $84 million in unpaid rent, and that's a lot of money.
Yes.
If you don't have a job, how do you recover from that? But getting back down to the provider level, I think there are some real impacts when you think about the way that some of these organizations are funded from their federal grants, right? So
mm-hmm.
for some of the shelter providers, they get paid from VA based on how many people they have in the shelter on any night. So
okay.
if you've only got 10 people, well, you normally would have 30, but you can't put that many in that space. You're pulling in less revenue and having to figure out the staffing and some of the structure for that. And, you know, they've been lucky that VA has waived some of the caps on their programs so that they can pay them a little bit more. But I think we're still seeing that some of those increased costs are going to be really hard for these providers.
You know, you bring up a really important point because, you know, I wasn't even thinking about that particular angle on that. But if you do have, you know, limited number of people who can be within one of your facilities, those other people you just can't accept, right? So they're basically still homeless. And what's the plan B, you know, from the federal government side, right?
So, there has been a lot of flexibility that's been created within programs, and I think that's one testament to VA's ability to innovate and their desire to serve veterans, right?
Okay.
So they are able to use their grant funds now to, you know, procure hotel and motel space to space people out a little bit better, but that's only for the duration of the public health crisis.
Okay.
So, you know, come the end of the public health crisis, when you still need to space people out potentially just as a preventive measure, you may not necessarily have that luxury, and then you'll sort of be back at square one figuring this all out.
Yeah, that makes sense, because even with the vaccine, we have two really promising vaccines now, you know, 95% reported about 94.6%, 95%, but, you know, you have Pfizer and you have Moderna out there. And other vaccines coming online. But even with that, they're saying that you still have to use your mask and socially distance once you've been vaccinated down the road, because you still have about a 5% chance of, you know, potentially getting the virus. And so they're still recommending.
They're talking about having that available for any kind of real hit for the public. When, you know, the emergency piece is going to go in. Probably rather rapidly, but they're talking about April, May.
April, May.
So,
that's right.
You know, so we're still in the same bind. I mean, it's not, you know, what it's going to increase up until that point. And so it gets to be where you just have to try to find little niches where you can be of some help. I mean, the VA has now, at one time they weren't even letting people come into the VA, but now you can go in, you have to see the people outside first. It's sort of like the 3 hours outside where they do your temperature and then you're directed directly to an area. It's still practicing, just like you said, they still have to have their mask and they have to... practice the distancing, but at least now people can get into the VA. It's still, you know, I don't know how much you know about the VA, but it's still a process to go through. Just after you get in, it's not going to happen quickly. You may have to be there for hours and hours once you're in.
Right. But it sounds like, you know, the homeless issue needs to be part of that transitional team planning, right, for the Biden administration, that there needs to be a seat at the table for this NCHV, you know, to make sure that these homeless veterans are actually addressed as part of the mass vaccination plan and make sure that within the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, we don't know how long this is going to take to, you know, unfold. And you need to be sitting at the table with that transition team planning for our veterans. But we're running out of time. We actually have a special announcement.
Well, hello, Mr. Ralph and Mrs. Catherine. This is Glenda. How are you guys?
Hi.
How are you?
Blessed. Thank you. Great show. Great show. And we're so blessed to be partnered with the National Coalition of Homeless Veterans. Great work that you do on behalf of the veterans and military population. Kudos. In lieu of homeless veterans, America's Heroes Group has partnered with Chris and Sheila Kennedy of Top Box Foods, along with Congressman Danny Davis. And we're happy to announce callers. We need 8 callers today. We need 8 callers because we will be on hiatus next week, taking a break. Dr. Arnold, Cliff, and myself, a much needed break for Thanksgiving. So we'll have a repeat show for next Saturday. So we need 8 callers. To call in now, please call in until 6 o'clock to win Top Box Foods giveaway from Top Box Food on behalf of Chris and Sheila Kennedy and Congressman Danny Davis. And that's in lieu of what we're seeing on TV. Yes. The lines, the cars, the people. Yes. Because of the lack of leadership from the White House, this has caused this type of detriment throughout our country. People are hungry. People are out of work, which means it's going to be even more difficult this holiday season to try to enjoy the holiday. So okay. Please, callers, we need eight callers. We need eight callers to call 773-591-1690 and win a Top Box Holiday Box Food giveaway from Chris and Sheila Kennedy of Top Box Foods and Congressman Danny Davis. Yay, yay, yay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very good.
Yes. And another exciting announcement. Cliff and Dr. Arnold, and we are always thinking of ways in terms of community outreach, how we can participate and give back. So I need one caller, and you have to be a veteran with proof of DD-214 or a family member to win $1,000 on behalf of America's Heroes Group. Yes. And that's in order to help pay some bills and just help you sort of just to help get through, Please call 773-591-1690. Dr. Arnold, what number caller will win that?
That will be number three.
Oh, lucky number caller three. You have to be a veteran or a family member. You have to have proof of DD-214. Thank you for listening to America's Heroes Group. Dr. Arnold, you have 1 minute. You can still speak to the fabulous Mr. Raff and Mrs. Catherine.
Oh, yes, we can. one of the things I wanted to say is that we, the NCHV, .org and any other number that you'd like to give or website, I want people to call in. And this is the holiday season, and I can't sit at the table and eat food and think about my veteran brothers and sisters who are out there. It's my entire family, any person who's worn a uniform, whether it be Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force, even Coast Guard. You, if you're homeless, we need to be supporting you. So please go to nchv.org and make your contributions to a good cause. You have some good people on the phone. And our partner, Catherine Monet and Ralph Cooper, thank you so much for what you do.